rồi.
Look at your neighbor and say, don't you be afraid of this. The Lord has you. The Lord has you. The Lord has you. When the wicked, even my enemies, came upon me, they stumble and say, you ought to take 60 seconds and give God a praise. Give God a praise. Give him a praise. Open your mouth. Use your feet. Use your hand. Whatever you got to use. Give him a praise. My. Glory. Woo. Woo. My. You have no reason. Greater is he that's on the inside of you than he that's in the world. You have no reason to fear. You have no reason to fear. The Lord is your life. He's going to lead you out of this. You ought to tell your neighbor, God's going to lead you out of this. Savior, lead me lest I stray. Lead me, Jesus. Lead me, lead me, lead me, lead me, lead me, lead me, lead me. Lead me out of this. Lead me out of this. Oh, he's going to lead you out of this. Wow. Oh, Sunday be on Sunday. Yes, he is. Woo. The devil thought he trapped you, but God's going to lead you. He's gonna lead me. He's gonna lead me. Yes, sir. Hey! Yeah! He tried to trap you, but God's gonna lead you. Is leading you. I don't know who you are, but I want to tell you, you're not fitting to die where you are. You better pull yourself together. God's not going to let you die right there. My. Oh, yes. the Lord's hand. You are in the Lord's hand. Woman, you in the Lord's hand. Brother, you in the Lord's hand. And can't nobody pluck you out the Lord's hand. You in the Lord's hand. You in the Lord's hand. Bless you, my dears and sirs. Yee, thank you, Jesus. The Lord's hand. And we bless you. In the Lord's hand. You in the Lord's hand. And the Lord loves you where you are. Every part of you is in the Lord's hand. Your body is in the Lord's hand. Your family is in the Lord's hand. Your future is in the Lord's hand. Your economy is in the Lord's hand. Your next promotion is in the Lord's hand. I don't know who you are. You are safe because it's in His hands. I'm safe in the hands of the Lord. The prophet says, because your name is engraved in the palm of His hand, the host of hell cannot pluck you out. Woo! That means the enemy that's trying to get to you can't, because God has written your name perpetually in His hands. I found safety in His hands. I'm safe in His hands. Prophesy to the person next to you and tell them you are safe in His hands. Tonight, when you go home and that fear tries to jump on you, say, I'm safe. You go to work tomorrow and that fear tries to jump on you, say, but I'm safe in His hands. Safe in His hands. Lord, thank you for your presence. For your presence, your glory. Thank you for your power that heals us, your presence that comes to refresh us. Now speak through these lips of clay as we share this word on today. I pray for grace to deliver your word. I pray for a hearing ear to hear what you are continually saying. And I pray that your people would receive your word with thanksgiving and with openness and apply it to their life in application. And for this, Lord, we give you praise in Jesus' name. Thank God. Amen. Turn your Bibles while you're standing to the book of Hebrews, chapter number 12, verse 1 and 2. Familiar chapter 12, verse 1 and 2. Therefore we also, since we are surrounded by so great cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily ensnares us, and let us run with patience, endurance, race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. And today I'd like to make my sixth installment on the lesson that I have been teaching on Access Granted, the price for success. And today our fourth point. point is dealing with keep it off of you. Have your seat. Keep it off of you. It's our fourth point out of our 7 points. Keep it off of you. First of all, I want to encourage you to be present on Wednesday nights. It's something tremendous that's going on here as we are teaching on Access Granted. We are keeping it moving even on Wednesday nights. And if it appears that it is a gap, it might suggest that you miss one of those sessions. But I encourage you to be present on Wednesday night at 7 o'clock for word empowerment. It's tremendous, and the Lord is blessing us in a great way. And today I'd like, again, to share with you from our fourth point, and that is keep it off of you. Keep it off of you. This is a great text of Scripture, and Hebrews chapter 11 tells us what faith is. Tells us what faith is. It's a very popular text. It tells us what faith is, and it tells us the results of faith. Because you see the examples of people who used faith and what happened to them. So it tells us what faith is, but it gives us the result of faith. But chapter 12 tells us the price of faith. To trust God will cost you. He was slow on that. Trusting God will cost you. And so chapter 12 of Hebrews really tells you the how-to of faith. Can you work with that? The how-to. And so it suggests here in verse 1 that there are many people who have gone ahead of us, who walk in faith, and we saw their results. We are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses. In other words, there are other people who have walked in this level of their life, and we have seen the results take place in their life. And then Paul jumps in, or the writer jumps into talking about how it happened to them. You would never have access granted unless you believe access has been granted to you. You have to know it in your knower that God, this belongs to me. And you have opened the windows of heaven for me. Now, there was a price to pay for that. There was a price to pay for that level of involvement, that level of engagement in your faith life. And so here the writer talks about what has to happen to the believer, to the pusher, to the one who recognizes that God has opened some tremendous doors for you. What has to happen in their particular life? He says there's some things you have to do. You have to understand that you must bring your life in line with your purpose. At some point, you have to come to a point that I'm bringing all of me into this. That where I'm going and what I want is worth all of me being involved in it. That I'm tired of being all over the place, divided in my emotions, divided in my thought, divided. I'm tired of that. I'm bringing all of me in line with where I'm going. People who succeed are people who throw all of themselves in it. I must bring my life in line with my purpose. And in order to receive what God is sending your direction, you must be willing to take some things off. In order to receive what God has for you, Lord, what am I willing to dismiss from myself? Because where many of you are going, you just can't get there any kind of way. What am I willing to throw off that I might gain? Good God from Zion. What am I willing to throw off that I might gain? So the writer here says that one of the things that you have to be willing to do, you have to be willing to lay some things off. Say, lay it off. He says, I must be willing to lay aside weights. Come on, say, lay aside weights. Weights are not sins. Weights become those hindrances that will block you in your movement. Weights can start off as responsibility and things that have nothing to do with sin, but it hinders you. Oh, you don't hear what I'm saying. So here he says that if I am going to move in my access, one of the things that I have access is one of the things I've got to lay aside. I have to lay aside those hindrances that restrict my movement. When a runner is running, they bring the runner to as few clothes as possible. Because nothing that the runner can have nothing on that will restrict his movement. Anything that will cause the runner not to be flexible and not able to move with the same kind of movement that's needed to win, the runner has to take it off. Oh, talk to me in here. Their shoes have to be light. Come on. Their shorts have to be light. Their shirt have to be light. They have to be willing to let it go. Because the wrong thing can restrict your movement. Could it be that many of us are restricted because we have too much on? We're asking God to do what God told you to do. Y'all quiet on me. He said, you lay aside. Oh, it's quiet on me. We want God to come in our lives and do all this stuff that we don't want to do. The reason why you have to participate in your own breakthrough so you will know not to put it on again. It's easy to put weight on, but it's hard to get it off. Y'all quiet on me in here. Y'all trying to make me work today. I mean, you just eat and you just do that thing and you just do it. And then when you get 20 pounds later, ooh, I wonder how I got like this. I think I just look at food and food just blew me up. No, boo, it don't work that way. You kept going because it tasted good. You kept going because you couldn't live without it. You kept going because it made you feel special. You kept going because it was a comfort delight. And now that this comfort delight has become weight on you, it is affecting the rest of your life. Teach on, Bishop Porter, y'all. Well, that's the same way it happens in the spirit realm. That we keep on adding stuff to our lives. We keep on adding responsibilities to our lives. We keep allowing hindrances to block us and stuff to stop us. And we keep excusing too much stuff. We keep saying, this is just me. But there's something about me that can hurt the future of me. Y'all ain't liking what I'm saying. And so we pray prayers like, Lord, take it away from me. No, he said, you lay it aside. I didn't tell you to eat that food. Why am I going to take your appetite away? Y'all quiet on me in here. I know y'all wanted to keep dancing earlier. So he says, you lay it aside. That means you have to come to your own place in your own life where you realize this ain't good for me. It ain't wrong either, but it ain't good for me. It's not a sin, but it's restricting my movement. This company, this the people around me, the habits that I have, teach on Bishop Porter. Yeah, my thought processes, what has become the ideological thought of my life, it's restricting me. And so he says, lay it aside. One translation, I love the translation. It says, lay it aside. I like this translation. It says that I have to wrestle it down. Because some thoughts and some thoughts and some things that we have acquired in our life, it has become part of us. We have excused it so long, we think it's really us. So he says, one writer says, I have to wrestle it down. Just like you sick the Holy Spirit on your enemy, sick the Holy Spirit on yourself. You know how we can pray, Lord, get him and kill him, Lord. Make my enemy. You know we pray these enemy go get him God prayers. Y'all quiet on me in this church. We fast and pray, Lord, get him, Jesus. You know they hurt me. Sick him, Holy Ghost. Get him, Holy Ghost. With the same passion that you pray against your enemy, you got to pray it against yourself. So I've got to wrestle some stuff down. I've got some stuff that have been passed on me by another generation. I've got to wrestle it down. I've got some generational curses. You can shout when you get ready. That you have become comfortable with. It's just not what we do in our family. It's a curse, baby. I got to wrestle it down. I can't excuse it. I've got to rebuke it. Come on, say, wrestle it down. Some habits I saw my father do that have become common to me. I got to wrestle it down. So he says, lay it aside. Because, watch this. He says, the reason why you got to lay it aside, because it restricts your ability to run. You've been called to run. You've been sitting still for a while, but your calling is to run. The dream God gave you is to force you to run. The goal he placed in you is to force you to run. And if you notice that your win cannot keep up with your run. My endurance cannot keep up with my run. It could suggest I'm working too hard because I got too much on me. What's restricting me from running? Because the word run means a steady pace. Teach on, Bishop Porter. Patience means a sense of calm. So I've been called to run, Barry, consistently, but with calm. Running deals with my actions. I'm teaching good, but patience is my behavior. It's my attitude. So I've been called to run with a good attitude. That means you're running because you're consistent in your movement. What's restricting me from being consistent in my... Lord Jesus, hallelujah. I know you wish you could have kept on jumping. And so he says, lay it aside. Lay it aside. Lay it, come on, say, lay it aside. Paul says it like this, examine yourself and see if you're found in the faith. Now, that examination in that text is really not talking about if you're found in the faith of your religion. But see whether or not there is enough of you. Examine yourself to make sure that your belief system stays intact. Examine yourself. What's restricting me? And it's amazing. It's amazing how the enemy would keep us hiding out with becoming true to ourselves. You can never get to where you're going and keep lying to yourself. For God's sake, don't lie to yourself and lie to God. If you're going to lie, don't lie to God and yourself. You can never come out of where you are lying to yourself. He says, lay it aside. Lay it. Lay it. Wrestle it down. I deal with it. I pray about it. But when I pray about it, I work my way out of it. Teach a lesson, Bishop Porter. Yeah. Liberty is what he has given us. Mm-hmm. Freedom is when I choose to come away from it. Y'all ain't liking what I'm saying. See, I can pray the thing from you, but then you got to leave the thing. Oh, God, help me. Lord, help this bald-headed preacher here. He says, lay it aside. And the sin. So he says, lay aside the things that may not be wrong, but that hinder you. But then lay aside the sin. The word sin means transgression. The word transgression means my aim is off. Whew. What keeps causing my aim to be off? My aim is off. It causes me to miss the mark. I miss the mark because my aim is off. What's causing me to miss the mark? Now, I said to myself, self, and self said, huh? I looked at this word, Barry, and I saw something in it that I never saw before. The word sin, in its Hebrew sense, means to miss the mark. I want you to catch this. It means to miss the mark, to be off. One translation says to come short of God's expectation. But then when I begin to look at this word from its Greek understanding used in this text of Hebrew here, it went a little further. And in this particular text, it didn't say sins. There is no S on sins. Teach a lesson, Bishop Porter. Which means he's talking about one particular sin. Y'all ain't liking the bald-headed preacher. And the sin. You the English teacher, isn't the a participle? Right? Talk to me. You get on everybody else. Talk to me. There is my man. He's all right. It's a participle, right? It means that, what's a participle, Barry? It's a noun determinant. It specifically says, it means that there's something specific about this one. The text didn't have an S on it. That's plurality. That could be anything. It has no S on it, which means there's something specific. It's a specific leave me alone in here. And I begin to say, now, what you're talking about in the text? What are you talking about in the text? He's talking about faith in chapter 11. And then he jumps in chapter 12 to talk about how to live it out. And when I begin to look at this word, I said, what is the sin in the chapter? The sin that he's dealing with in the chapter, one translation says, it is the sin that causes me not to believe who God is. So could it be that unbelief is a sin? Y'all ain't liking what the bald head preacher's saying. Hey, oh, she got my knee, I see. Oh. And I got happy because most time we don't start wanting to change stuff until stuff becomes known as a sin. Because saints don't want to be known as sinners. So here he said, hey, if you don't see it as something you can lay aside, let me help you. The sin. What is the sin? Is that when I don't believe, when my actions, oh my God, are not believing, not straight. They don't push me toward God. This sin in here will hinder me from running, and it will hinder my behavior, and it will hinder my run. It will hinder my endurance. Yes, it will hinder my endurance, and it will hinder my run. The sin, I missed the mark. He tells me to believe, and I don't believe. What got the disciples always in trouble was the sin of unbelief. The more Jesus did, the less they believed. Y'all ain't liking what I'm saying. You ain't liking it. When you read the New Testament, Jesus didn't rebuke them for fornicating all the time. But that's what we put all of our time to. Who you sleeping with and how long you been there? See, y'all don't want to go there, see. My wife always gets on me because when I read the scriptures, and particularly read the life of Jesus, I read the life of Jesus not only from a spiritual connection, but I read it from a human standpoint. Because the only way that I can understand that I can be like him, I got to recognize he was also like me. And the problem with some of us, we don't think that Jesus was like us. Y'all don't like what I'm saying. Oh, my man. And so when I read the scriptures, baby, I have to understand that there's nothing that's going on here on earth that God, that Christ didn't know about. And when I look at how Jesus dealt with his disciples, he never rebuked them for adultery. He never rebuked them for having six and seven wives. No, but he dealt with their unbelief. Peter kept falling because of unbelief. Thomas missed it because of unbelief. Judas hung himself because of unbelief. So I think the spirit that has hit the body of Christ is unbelief. And the enemy has us targeting the sins of the flesh. And we are missing the main important thing. When I get the victory in my belief system that Jesus is Lord, he is the author and the finisher. Oh, Sheab, all right. All right. Okay. I got 14 minutes here. And so he says, and the sin. Are y'all hearing me? And sin. Jesus would say things like this. When they said, Lord, we don't have enough food to feed the people. We don't have enough money to buy. And Jesus would say, have you not been with me long enough? Okay, let me preach to the preachers. When Jesus would hit a crisis. And they would say, Lord, how can these things be? Jesus says, have I been so long with you? Have I been with you so long? You have forgotten how to believe? Haven't you seen the many wonders and the works that I've done? Haven't you seen me raise the dead, give sight to the blind, make a way out of no way? Haven't you seen me walk on waters and then bid you to come and come where I am? Haven't I done enough for you? I've marked things out for you. I've made ways for you. I've stepped in for you in the nick of time. How are you going to get here and not believe me now? Haven't y'all healed your body and they told you you were going to die before and you yet here? The sin of unbelief. Well, y'all ain't liking what I'm saying. Okay. Okay, I got 12 minutes. Okay. What keeps causing me to miss the mark? The enemy makes me comfortable with not believing. It makes me comfortable. Makes me comfortable. I like what the text says. The text says, lay aside the weight and the sin. King James says, that besets us. The New King James Version says, ensnares. What it means is, the things that come along to trap you. Setting, because if you're not careful, you miss it. And you'll wonder, why haven't I broken through? Because you've become comfortable with your entrapment. Sin that so easily besets us. But I will run. It's restricting my run. Say this, and then I'm gonna let y'all go. Get you out of here. Get you out of here. Cutting a leech off of you. Y'all know what a leech is? If you've ever had a leech on you, and I have, I was a Boy Scout and went camping, came back home with a leech. It stayed there while I thought it was a mole. One day, I had my shirt off in the house, and my mother said to me, "Boy, where you get that? Huh?" Yeah, I had a. She said, "What? I didn't know you had a mole there." I said, "Yeah." She said, "What? What? I didn't know it." And you know how mothers do, they. Mothers can forget that you're a grown man. You know, half grown. And so it was on my back, and so she went to. I said, "Oh, that hurts." And I don't know, she must have felt something. She said, "Oh my God, what?" She said, "Wait a minute, let me get a match." I said, I ain't going to hell now. No. I ain't going to hell. Get a match. Fire. I ain't going to hell. My mother got my daddy's cigarette lighter. And I said, "Mom, what are you doing? I'm gonna call social service. What are you doing?" She says, "There's something here that ain't right." And my mother kept going, and finally it came loose. And it fell out. I said, "Oh, my mole." She said, "Baby, that's not a mole." She said, "That's a tick. That's a this somehow this thing attached itself to you, and it was bleeding." And she says, "The more it stays on you, the bigger it gets." And it was painful and bleeding. Can I tell you, there are some things that have become a leech to your life, that have leached onto you. It's become part of you. And what God is trying to do is help you to pull it off. But you are experiencing the pain. You ain't liking what I'm saying. Pulling this off, cutting this sin, laying this aside off of you, it's producing pain. But the pain that you experience doesn't compare to the goal that you will accomplish. These last Friday's prayer session, breakthrough. I wasn't here, but I heard about it, and I saw the clips. But let me tell you something. Breaking through is great. Staying through. Now that I have laid it aside, He's brought liberation. I have to now walk in freedom. How do I walk in freedom? By going the other way. And going the other way, DeMond, can be painful. But you got to remember, there's something in mind that I want other than this present suffering. I'm going after something. I want to become something. I want to be something. I'm after. That something that I'm after is worth laying some stuff aside and bringing correction to my sins. Y'all ain't liking what I'm saying. Bringing correction to what has been causing me to miss the mark. Missing the mark. I'm tired of getting almost and never all the way. wrote this in my study yesterday. How far would I be if I had not allowed this thing to beset me? I mean, I wrote it for me. That was a question that I had. How far up the road would I be if I hadn't picked up what I should have been laying aside? And if I had not missed the mark, what would have happened if I had delayed that gratification? I'm preaching good right now. If I had learned the lesson to wait, that if I wait on the Lord, I'll see the vision without trickery. If I learn to wait on the Lord, though the vision tarry, wait, it'll surely come. Don't allow impatience to push the door open in my life that'll cause me to make decisions that will slow down my movement. I have to be willing to look bad for a little while so that I can look good for a long time. Are y'all hearing what I'm saying? Listen, you have to be willing to feel the pain and even to feel bad for a little while that I can feel great for a long time. Are y'all hearing what I'm saying? So that I can run with patience. Wait, it, the sin, missing the mark of unbelief. When you are holding on to something from God, you can't let people be around you to talk into your spirit who place doubt about it. I'm feeding my belief system. I become what I eat. I say what I hear. Faith comes by what I hear. Even hearing it from yourself. I gotta keep it off of me. The weight, the hindrance, and missing the mark, the sin of unbelief. Writer says, if you keep looking to Jesus, oh, I know I don't have your shout now. He's giving us a remedy of how to keep it off of you. Looking unto Jesus. Could it be that I'm in trouble because I'm looking at the wrong thing? I'm looking at people and stuff and rings and things and what somebody else has. But when I look at Jesus, he shows me possibility. When I look at Jesus, he says you can become that. The author and the finisher. That means he started and he ended of my faith. He is the origin, the genesis of my faith. Glory to God, hallelujah. He's the author, the finisher of my faith, who endured the cross, despising how it looked. Stop trying to impress people and press toward your future. Despising the shame. Y'all hear me? Despising the shame. That means even against what it looked like to others. Sometimes you have to understand, oh, you see me in my nowness. But Jesus is calling me to something else. This is just a stopover as the way I'm going. And don't you just read the ending of the chapter here. There's another chapter coming. Despising the shame and the opinions of others. That's what the text says. He sat down at the right hand. In other words, his goal was to atone for the sins of the world. He looked bad, but he made it back to the Father and said, "It's done. I'm a little bloody, but it's done. I got some holes in me. Okay, but it's done. I got some points from thistles that have been in my head, but it's done. I lost a little something, but it's done. I finished my course." He sat down. The Lord's trying to bring you to the place where you can sit down. In other words, to bring you into what he has purposed for you. But you got to get over yourself and people. Let me preach to this section. You got to get over yourself and people. Okay, let me talk to this section. You got to get over yourself and people. Okay, let me talk to the center section. Okay, I know you're ready to go. Hallelujah. Yeah, but you got to get over yourself. That means you got to understand you are not that important, that you can't lay some stuff down. You got to get over yourself, that you're just not that erudite and that righteous, that you don't have some stuff that you got to get straight yourself. You got to get over yourself and be willing to say, "Lord, I ain't been there right myself. I've been fickle in my thoughts." I'm talking about people being sometimey to me. Maybe I'm getting the seed, the harvest of the seed I planted. I've got to get over me and people, despising the shame. Y'all hear me this morning? I'm not giving you what we call classically black preaching, but I'm teaching a strong lesson. You have to be willing to live through stuff when people say, "Well, we used to do it. Well, we ain't doing it. We used to is right. I did it. Yes, yes, yes. You're not going to hold me hostage to it. I did it. I did. And you know what? You know what? And I, you know what? Before you tell it, I'm going to tell it on myself. Because if I tell it, by the time you tell it, it ain't gossip. It's called a testimony." Oh, I see. Lord, I'm in the wrong church. So let me, you know, you think you're going to hold me hostage? You know what? Let me give my own thing. I went there, I did it, it felt good, and I got convicted. Because sometimes people are trying to hold it over your head to keep you trapped where you are. Before I let you trap me, I'll testify myself. Yee-hee! All right. Oh, I'm telling you something. You got to learn how to get people off of you. Because there's something else I'm going after. I'm after something else. I'm after something else. You can go on a journey, but if you don't want to go on a journey, so peace, deuces. Imashima. Ushaba uha. Whatever your language says. No. because I've wasted too much time. And God has given me another opportunity. And before I blow it, I leave you. Y'all quiet on the bald head preacher. Before I blow it this time. Oh. Because you have to keep it off of you. Lay it aside. The weight. And the sin. Bow your head. Bow your head. Bow your head. I pray you receive the word of God on today. The Lord told me to teach the people through transformation. Teach the people through transformation. Bow your head. Lord, every head that's bowed today, represents a soul. And Lord, I don't know their plight. I don't know their case. But I believe it's a soul that loves you. And so, Holy Spirit, I ask you right now to breathe upon every heart, every head that's bowed. And I pray the conviction of weights. It may not be bad, but it's not good for you. And the sin of unbelief that have caused them to see that they can't become it. It won't happen. The sin of unbelief of not trusting you. I pray right now, Holy Spirit, that you will give your people conviction, that you will move them from where they are, and that it's possible to make it from where they are. I pray that right now in the name of Jesus. And this morning, if the message, the word of God said, Bishop, God, I was there. It was weights. It was sins, the sin of unbelief. I was struggling with trusting God. I haven't been trusting God like I should. I didn't believe God could do it. I've been trapped so long in this that my God consciousness is dim. It's weak. I've been here so long. I've become comfortable where I am. The sin of unbelief. And if you stand where you are, I'll pray for you. The Lord sent me to you today. He sent me to you. I see you. He sent me to you today. Who else in this room said, God, these hindrances, I didn't know what they were, but they were blockers in my life. I see you, sir. Bless you. If you're here, if you stand to your feet, I want to pray with you. I want to pray with you. See you. I see you. I want to pray with 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 you. Yes, I want to pray with you. I want to pray with you. You don't have to struggle in private. Today, freedom and liberty has come. The Lord has come to expose what has been going on. So now, you can have free course to become. Who else? I want to pray with you where you are. I want to pray with you. In Jesus' name. 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 See you, sir. God bless you. I see you, man. God bless you. Amen.